Iran unveils new indigenous fighter jet. Iranian president points out that Iran's military power serves deterrent purposes. Iran's defense minister says the country's super-advanced Boher 313 can evade radars. The Iranian foreign minister arrives in Germany to partake in Munich Security Conference. And Russia denies plan to talk to Syria's opposition. In the name of God, the compassion of the merciful, hello everyone and welcome to this edition of Iran in English News with me, Nima Chitsos. Iran unveiled its new homemade fighter jet named Boher 313. The advanced Iranian aircraft was displayed in a special ceremony attended by the country's president, Mahmoud Ahmadinejad, Defense Minister Brigadier General Ahmad Vahidi, Iranian Air Force Deputy Commander General Mohsen Darabaghi, and a number of senior military commanders. The new achievement was unveiled on the occasion of the 10-day dawn ceremonies, celebrating the victory of the Islamic Revolution back in 1979. The new single-seat bomber has been manufactured based on state-of-the-art technologies and modern defense achievements. In recent years, Iran has made great achievements in the defense sector and achieved self-sufficiency in essential military hardware and defense systems. Speaking during the ceremony, President Ahmadinejad reiterated that Iran's defense might did not serve purposes of expansionism and aggression against other countries. He said the military power of the Iranian nation is a demonstration of the faith and maturity of the Iranian nation, which can defend itself at the lowest costs. Ahmadinejad stated that the fighter jet had been completely designed and manufactured by Iranian experts. Elsewhere, the Iranian president lashed out at those countries which produce chemical weapons to kill human beings and plunder their wealth. Ahmadinejad said, "Those who make chemical weapons and know that the bomb is the most painful method to kill human beings have crossed the borders of beastlessness." Meantime, Iran's defense minister said the new indigenous fighter jet is super advanced and capable of evading radars. Speaking on the sidelines of Boher 313 unveiling ceremony, Brigadier General Ahmad Vahidi added that the aircraft has a very low radar cross section and is capable of conducting operations at low altitudes. He said the production of the fighter took place in line with the guidelines of the Supreme Leader of the Islamic Revolution, with all the stages of its production and designing completed by Iranian scientists and experts. Vahidi stressed that Boher is a manifestation of the high capability, creativity, and high spirit of the Iranian scientists. Iran's foreign minister left Tehran for Germany to participate in the 49th annual Munich Security Conference. During an interview with reporters, Ali Akbar Saleh said, "This year, Iran will participate in the conference at the foreign ministerial level." He added that the ongoing crisis in Mali, Syria, and the developments in the Muslim and Arab world over the past 2 years, as well as the financial and economic situation in the Eurozone, are the leading issues which will be discussed during the three-day event. Later in the day, Saleh arrived in the South German city of Munich. He will speak at the high-profile security meeting on Sunday on the Iranian nuclear question and regional politics. Saleh is also scheduled to meet later in the day with his German counterpart, Guido Westerwelle, and the UN Special Envoy on Syria, Lakhdar Brahimi, on the sidelines of the Munich Security Conference. Widely regarded as a top annual gathering of political movers and shakers on global strategic issues. Secretary of Iran's Supreme National Security Council, Saeed Jalili, says the Islamic Republic will help Syria to stand against plots by global arrogance. Addressing reporters in the Syrian capital of Damascus, Jalili said Iran would continue supporting the Syrian government. The Iranian official added that Muslim and Arab countries should do everything to alleviate the sufferings of the Syrians, as Syria is the front line in the fight against the Zionist regime. Jalili said the Zionist regime has always tried to exact revenge on people who have stood against aggressors by launching aerial attack on Syria. Jalili arrived in Damascus on Saturday to hold talks with the senior Syrian officials regarding the recent developments in the country. And here's a recap of tonight's top stories. Iran unveils new indigenous fighter jet. Iranian president points out that Iran's military power serves deterrent purposes. Iran's defense minister says the country's super-advanced Bahar 313 can evade radars. Iranian foreign minister arrives in Germany to partake in Munich Security Conference. And Russia denies plan to talk to Syria's opposition. Russia has categorically rejected reports claiming that Moscow is planning to hold talks with Syrian opposition. The remark was made by Russian Deputy Foreign Minister Gennady Gatilov, saying Foreign Minister Sergei Lavrov would not meet Syrian opposition leader Ahmed Muaz al-Khatib on the sidelines of the Munich conference to discuss the exacerbating Syrian conflict. Meantime, China has reiterated calls for a political solution to the ongoing crisis in Syria, supporting the mediation efforts by UN Arab League Joint Special Envoy for Syria, Lakhdar Brahimi. Speaking during a press conference in Beijing, spokesman for China's foreign ministry, Hong Li, said China is willing to keep close communication with all parties so as to settle the crisis impartially, peacefully, and properly in Syria. Hong also called on the international community to prepare the ground for political dialogue to set a roadmap for a political transition in the country. Now, Russian foreign minister urged Western countries to take Iran's security concerns seriously. In his speech to the 49th Munich Security Conference, Sergei Lavrov stressed that the West had to consider Iran's legitimate security concerns in the Middle East. Lavrov once again repeated his country's call for convening an international security conference featuring the five UN veto powers, the EU, UN, Iran, and its Arab-Persian Gulf neighbors. Elsewhere, referring to the ongoing crisis in Syria, the Russian official said terrorism cannot be justified in order to bring down legitimate governments. He said addressing crises in countries through comprehensive dialogue is the best and sole way to end every kind of crisis. Lavrov added that certain Western states are defiantly responsible for what is happening in Syria.
On the humanitarian corridors with close air support, no. Any threat of the use of force will be unacceptable, and not only because we still vividly remember what was done with the Security Council resolutions on Libya, but because the situation on the ground requires not more military assets, but immediate ceasefire and immediate end of violence.
Egypt's main opposition group says President Mohamed Morsi should face trial over crimes of killing and torture. The remark was made by the country's National Salvation Front. It also called for all those responsible for killings and torture and illegal detention to be fairly tried. Earlier in the day, riot police were deployed near the presidential palace and the capital following overnight clashes between protesters and security forces. Meanwhile, Egyptian Prime Minister Hesham Kandil also condemned the violent clashes in the capital. Kandil urged all political forces to withdraw their supporters from the streets near Morsi's palace. The premier further reiterated that the government was working hard to meet the basic demands of Egyptians. At least 31 people have been killed during militant attack on a military checkpoint in northwest Pakistan. The incident happened after about 300 Taliban insurgents attacked the army check post in southern Peshawar early on Saturday. Pakistani security forces pushed the Taliban militants back, killing 15 of them and arresting 8 others. Three villagers, including an elderly woman, were killed in a subsequent crossfire. The Taliban claimed responsibility for the attack, saying it was in response to a U.S. drone strike in neighboring North Waziristan last month, in which two Taliban commanders were killed.
It was about 4:45 in the morning. I woke up to the sound of gunfire. Then I heard the sound of mortars. I went to the rooftop of the house and I saw light from fire. Then I heard few explosions one after another. When I reached here at the hospital, the bodies had already been here.
Zionist regime forces have once again forcibly removed Palestinians from a new tent camp near an occupied West Bank village. The Zionist forces resorted to tear gas and violence to remove hundreds of people who had set up tents near Burin, south of Nablus and the northern West Bank. Journalists were also forced to leave the site. In January, Palestinians put up a 24-tent protest camp on disputed lands on the eastern outskirts of Al-Quds, dubbed Bab al-Shams, or Gate of Sun in Arabic. The move came in a bid to draw attention to Zionists' plan to build new illegal settlement units in the occupied territories. Now, fresh anti-regime protests have been staged in Bahrain's capital city of Manama. The move came despite the ongoing crackdown by the Saudi-backed regime forces on peaceful protesters. Protesters said the motive behind the protest is the force of the regime to understand the realization of democracy and freedom. The Bahraini uprising against the Al Khalifa rule in the Persian Gulf island nation began in February 2011. The Manama regime has arrested many rights activists, doctors, and nurses since the uprising began. Now, Spanish Prime Minister Mariano Rajoy denied media claims that he and other leaders of the ruling Popular Party received secret payments for years. Center-left newspaper El País on Thursday published account ledgers showing that donations were channeled into secret payments to Rajoy and other party leaders. The allegations sparked anger among people who have been asked to accept harsh austerity measures as the government tried to prevent an international bailout. Protesters gathered outside the ruling party headquarters and blamed the politicians for the country's economic crisis and yelled thieves while demonstrating outside the building.
It's a fact that the Spaniards do not trust their politicians. Both the prime minister and the leader of the opposition have an 85% level of mistrust. This is a fact and a problem.
They need to resign for sure and return the money. They also should be banned from politics and we need an ethical code.
It is not enough to show Rajoy's income tax because we are talking about undeclared money. What we need to do is demand his resignation because those in public positions should be an example and they are doing exactly the opposite. This is not enough.
Ferries remain tied up in Greece's main ports after dock workers extended a 48-hour strike. Workers have been protesting the abolition of collective wage agreements and planned reforms to the pension and income contribution system. The union's decision to extend the labor action will leave ferries tied up until 6 a.m. on Monday. Greece has been struggling through a severe financial crisis since late 2009 and is dependent on billions of euros and international rescue loans.
The minister has left nothing standing. He removes us from the ships, he signs agreement on his own, he gets rid of crews and collective wage agreements. They're not interested in the people. The people have not been paid in 5 or 6 months. Nothing.
We are obliged to react. Let's not forget there is a long-term value in shipping. The existence of Greeks on ships, decent treatment by the state, and not this humiliation we are experiencing, are the national issues.
And finally, despite worldwide condemnation, U.S. Defense Secretary says Washington is not going to suspend its drone attacks in Pakistan, Yemen, and Somalia. Leon Panetta said the U.S. needs to keep up an open-ended drone war against what he called militants, not only in Pakistan, but also in Yemen and Somalia. The U.S. Defense Secretary added, The airstrikes are necessary to prevent an attack on America, saying CIA might widen the scope of the drone strikes depending on the nature of the threat that Washington is confronting. Washington uses its assassination drones in Yemen, Pakistan, Afghanistan, and Somalia, claiming that they target terrorists. The attacks, however, have mostly led to massive civilian casualties. And on that note, we come to a wrap of this edition of iRI and an English News. Join us tomorrow with the latest updates. Goodbye now.